Okay. So we were learning last time about the
the tabernacle.
about the meaning of what Torah is. And the Torah describes itself as Mishal Kadmeini, a parable for the one who came before. And there are two layers of meaning to that sentence. One of them is that although we learn the Torah about very physical things, but the Torah has also a spiritual meaning too. It's not just a physical thing. And that's why the Talmud says that they're arguing about various things that in heaven, that don't exist in heaven. They're arguing about white spots and about white hair and halachic decisions about them when those things don't even exist in heaven. And the answer is that how could they talk about those things? It's because they do exist in heaven in some sort of spiritual form. That's why the Torah is called a parable for the one who came before, because whenever you study something in Torah and you study it intricately in the Talmud, every page in Talmud, every question in Talmud, every answer in Talmud isn't just a physical discussion, it's also a spiritual one. That's why it's called a parable. It's not just a physical thing, it has a spiritual counterpart as well. And Chaim Rech. This is how the Arizal explains why the Torah starts with the letter base. Because the Torah has has the way we are learning the Torah in a physical way. And there's a way the Torah studied in higher worlds as well. That's all the way Torah studied from the purview of the created beings. But then there is the Torah as it is in the divine realm, in the world of Atzilus, as the Torah is in its pristine state in the highest world, in Atzilus, there it's a whole different thing. So whatever we're learning in Torah is Torah base, the second part of the Torah, as Torah comes into the world. But then there is a higher part of the Torah, as the Torah is in the highest world of Atzilus, as Torah is in divinity. There's a way Torah is in the language of creations. Then there is Torah as it is in the divine world of Atzilus before there are creations. So we're learning about switching a bull with a donkey in this world. And there is a discussion in the higher worlds about switching a bull with a donkey. But as long as we're talking about creations of Hashem, we're talking about the second part of Torah. We're not talking about the Aleph. So that's why it's that we say in our prayers, we thank you for your Torah that you taught us. There is a way Torah is your Torah, the way it is in the world of Atzilus. Then there's a way Torah is taught to us as it is in the world of Bria, in the world beneath Atzilus. And that world begins with the letter base. Bria, which means the world of creation, it starts with a base. The Torah starts with a base because the Torah that we have, as we understand it, it's base. It's not Aleph. Aleph is the first letter of the world of Atzilus. It's not the way the Torah is in divinity. It's the way Torah is coming to the realm of creation. But the question is this. When we say that everything in Torah has a spiritual counterpart, it's not just the questions of Torah and the answers of Torah, if that's true too, but certainly the letters of Torah, the words of Torah, also have a spiritual counterpart, also have a divine representation. So that means if our Torah starts with a base, wouldn't the Torah in heaven also start with a base? If our Torah starts with a base, why is it starting with a base? Because it's not the way it is in divinity, it's the way it's been transferred to us. Wait, it's been contracted the way we can understand it. Fine, that makes sense. So it's a second, it's the way Torah is contracted. The way the Torah, and as we learned, that although it's contracted, we still get the essence of Hashem. It's the godly quality still there. But why is it that the Torah in the world of Atzilus, why is that called Torah number two, Torah base? And the answer is this. When we say Mishal HaKadmeini, when we say the Torah is a parable for the one who came before, it doesn't only mean it's a parable for the worlds that came before. It's also Kadmoni Shaloylam. The Torah is a parable for the one who existed before all of creation. In other words, not only is Hashem beyond this world and beyond the worlds above this world, Hashem is beyond all the worlds. So all explanations of Torah, if we were to take the law of switching the bull with a donkey, as it is in the highest world of Atzilus, that's still not Hashem himself. The Torah is only a mashal, it's a parable for the giver of the Torah. There is the giver of the Torah, then there's the Torah itself. So that's why the Torah starts with the base. The Torah wants to tell you it's not only about the subject matter, even the subject matter in the world of divinity. The Torah is actually godly. The Torah is Hashem Himself. The Torah and Hashem are one. It's not just it's godly. The Torah and Hashem are one. To understand this better, let's go to a very fundamental thing in Torah. There are 13 principles in Torah. One of the principles in Torah are principles of our faith. 13 principles of our faith. One of the principles of our faith is that Torah will never change. Torah will never change. All the commentaries, looking at Maimonides' words, that this is a principle, a fundamental of Torah, they wonder, why is this called a fundamental of Torah? Why is this a fundamental thing in our faith? In fact, I mean, among the fundamentals of our faith is that Hashem has no body, that Hashem has no form. But why is a Torah never changing something that's so fundamental to our faith? Let's say Hashem decided, hey, you know, I have 613 commandments. Let's add 614. Let's add another one. Maimonides says that the Torah will never change. So that's certainly true. Maimonides has sources in the Torah. With Varel Kin Yokum Leilam, the words of Hashem last forever. So he knows, Maimonides knows the Torah will never change. But why does that make it a fundamental in our faith? Why does that make it part of what Judaism is about? There are things which are true, but that just because they're true doesn't make them fundamentals of faith. For example, it says in the Talmud that there are seven rakim, seven, if you will, seven skies, seven levels of sky. And the Talmud describes what each level of sky, what each level of heaven has. Let's say someone never heard of this. Would you say he is he denies the Torah? Would you say he is a heretic? Would you say he's missing something fundamental in Torah? If he knows about it and he doesn't believe in it, so he says, okay, he denies Torah. So the reason why it's considered heretical is not because of intrinsically, because you have to know about seven heavens to be a Jew, that's fundamental to Torah, it's that the Torah is true. The Torah's truth is fundamental. But the fact that Torah has seven heavens or six heavens, the fact that there are seven or six heavens, the fact that the Torah says that it's not a fundamental thing to Judaism. It's something that happens to be true. So why is it that Maimonides says that fundamental to Judaism is the Torah not changing? Or the Torah would change? And those commentaries in Maimonides, they reinforce their question with a parable. They say like this. Huh? Let's say you have a doctor and a patient. The doctor gives a patient certain medicine. And then the patient recovers somewhat, and the doctor gives him a different medicine. Would you say that if the Torah is Latzarev Ben Sabris, if Torah is meant to purify the world, would you say that's heretical? It's heretical to say that Hashem changed the Torah because the world changed it. Hashem gave us the Torah to lift us up, to purify us, to elevate us. So when Hashem saw that we were elevated to a certain extent, let's say after Mashiach comes, wouldn't it make sense to say that the Torah would change then? There are instances where the Torah itself says that the rule should be different. For example, we had read a few weeks ago in the Haftorah about Eliyahu Hanavi. He was on Mount Carmel, and he was discussing with the prophet. He was challenging the prophets of the Baal, and he offered a sacrifice outside of the temple, which in general is forbidden. So that's not something which is a change in Torah. The Torah itself says in certain situations a prophet can give instruction if he so sees a need for it, to do something which is against a negative commandment. He is allowed to... That's included in Torah. That's included in Torah. The Torah itself says that a prophet can do that. The Torah itself...
If we're saying about the changes, then what stops us from saying that today the Torah is not... Well, half of it is not...
No, okay. Good. So if you said that people could change the Torah, that, of course, would be heretical. But what's wrong with saying that God would change the Torah? That's a question. Why is it so fundamental to Torah to say that the Torah will never change? People, of course, can't change Torah, fine. But why can't God change the Torah? And God actually, it seems, did change a lot of things. For example, when God created the world, he gave Adam six commandments. Then when Noah came around, he gave him another commandment, and Avram another commandment, and Amram. And so Hashem added commandments. Also Hashem subtracted commandments. Hashem first forbade people from eating meat. Then Hashem allowed people to eat meat. So both Hashem added and subtracted things that he told the world to do before the Torah was given. So Maimonides has sources, you know, Maimonides knows the Torah is never going to be changed. Fine. But why is that fundamental to Judaism? Why can't Hashem one day say, I want to have a different mitzvah? This mitzvah isn't relevant anymore. What's wrong? Why is it fundamental to Judaism that Torah can't change? They have another parable, a father and a son. A father educates his child. He uses one method of teaching his son, and his son learns more. He gives him another, he gives him something more. Why can't we say that Hashem gave us the Torah, we develop, and then Hashem gives us more, Hashem changes other things? What's wrong with saying that Hashem would do that? Why is it so fundamental to Torah to say that Hashem wouldn't do this? So the answer is this. The Torah is one with Hashem. It says in Gemara, in Shabbos, at the end of Perek HaBoneh, as we mentioned a few times, the first word that Hashem used when he gave us the Torah was Anochi. Anochi stands for I, my soul, I wrote it and I gave it. Hashem's essence is in Torah. It's not only to purify the world. It's not only to elevate people. The Torah is one with Hashem. And just like Hashem will never change, so too the Torah can never change. Because what is the Torah? The Torah is one with Hashem. That's why Maimonides says that we don't do circumcision because our grandfather Avram did circumcision. We're not forbidden to eat a limb from a living animal because that's what God told Adam. Rather, everything we do, Maimonides says, is because Hashem told Moshe at Har Sinai. Why is Har Sinai so important? Why is Mount Sinai so important? Because the commandments that were given to us before Mount Sinai actually were of a different nature than the commandments after Mount Sinai. What's the difference? That the commandments after Mount Sinai are not just commandments for the sake of the world, but the opposite. The world was created for the sake of Torah. It's true, there is a facet of Torah that the Torah elevates creation. That's true. But that's not all what Torah is. In the very first word of the Torah, Bereshis, Rashi says, why was the world created? The world was created for the sake of Torah. So it's not that the Torah was created for the sake of the world, but the opposite. The world was created in order for Torah to be implemented, in order for the Torah's desire, Hashem's desire in the Torah to be fulfilled. That's why there's a world. So let's say, for example, on ourselves. Let's say, random example, let's say someone here wants to get a job. And you ask them, you want to get a job? What do you need about a job? I don't have the job. I need the job so I can make money. You want money? It's not the money. I need the money so I could have what I need and prestige and all the things that money gives. Okay, so and I need to live. So why do you want to live? The fact you want to live, that's not something which could change. If I said to you, hey, you could have all the money in the world, and you can have all the things you need in the world, and you don't need to go to work, you may not want to go to work, because those are just the means to an end. It's called in Chassidus, chitzonius haratzon, external will. There's ratzon, there's a will, which is external. That you want this to get something else. But your desire to live, that's pnimius haratzon, that's your inner will, that's you. That can change. Your desire to live can change. In a similar way, Hashem's desire for Torah, Hashem's desire in the Torah, Hashem's wisdom in the Torah, is not something which can change. Why not? Because it's not a means to an end. It's not something which is for something else. It is Hashem's will and wisdom, which is one with Him Himself.
So the Torah is made to perfection?
Not just is made to perfection, but the world was made to serve Torah. That's why it's a fundamental to Torah to say the Torah will never be changed. It's not something that's going to happen later. It's not just that the Maimonides is telling us you should know you can never change the Torah. It's not something about the future. It's something about the present. Maimonides is saying, how do you define what Torah is? You should know Torah is something which is divine that can't be changed because it's one with Hashem Himself. Let's say, for example, there's a law in the Torah. If two people are holding a talus, and one says a talus is mine, one says a talus is mine. So the Torah addresses this, and Torah says how they should divide the talus. So how do you understand the purpose of the Mishnah without this class? What would you say? You say like this. The Torah wants there to be justice in the world. And so if there'll be an argument about a talus, what should happen? It shouldn't be that someone should be bereft of their talus in an unjust way. And therefore, the Torah comes to address the world, and Torah says this is how the talus is supposed to be divided. In other words, the goal is the world. But the Torah is Mishalach Admeini. The Torah is a parable for the one who came before the world. The Torah isn't the subject matter of the Torah isn't for the conclusions that are happening in the world. It's the opposite. The Torah is about the Seichel itself. The Torah is the God's wisdom itself. The conclusion is a consequence that comes from God's wisdom. But it's not that the purpose of Torah is the conclusion that we have in court, that a Jewish judge should know what to do. It's the opposite. First of all, the Torah is Hashem's wisdom. And Hashem's wisdom, which can never be changed because it's one with Him. And then there's an application of how we apply it in this world. But it's not that that's what Torah is about. Does that make sense so far? Any questions so far? So now we understand why the Torah starts with a base. It starts with a base because even the Torah, as it's learned in Atzilus, even the Torah is learned in the highest world, it's not really what Torah really is about. The Torah that we learn, even the Torah as learned in Atzilus, is just a parable for the essence of Hashem. It's the essence of Hashem's will, the essence of Hashem's wisdom. It's not for the purpose of our conclusion. The purpose is the ideas of Torah themselves, as they are. And that's why the laws before the Torah was given, they were for the creation, and therefore they could change. But the laws of the Torah after the Torah was given, those are laws of Torah. Those are Hashem's will and wisdom. Those laws are impossible to change because those laws are immutable because Hashem is immutable. The Torah is Hashem's will. Torah is Hashem's wisdom. That's all I wanted to share today. Any questions or comments before we break for today?
So, within the world that exists, before we could possibly understand anything, before the world was created, are you saying that there is still flexibility? It's either flexibility or just it's no.
Let's learn this mission that I mentioned in the higher worlds for a second. What's the mission talking about? Baal Shem Tov says two people holding a talus means this. You know, Dr. Bressman, that there's somebody that they'll do tshuva, they will be inspired to Judaism. If I speak to them, you know you don't have such a rapport with them. But you know, if I speak to Reuven, Reuven will do tshuva. Right. So you come over to me and say, you got to speak to Reuven. Reuven has something going on. You got to talk to Reuven and you have to have a heart to heart with him. Okay. I listen to you, Dr. Bressman. I speak to Reuven. Reuven is back on track. Reuven's doing okay.
Right.
Question is, who gets the credit for the mitzvah?
You do.
So the Torah says it's two people holding on to a talus. I have a credit and you have credit. We divide the credit. Okay. That's how the Alshana explains this mission in the higher world. So that's how the world Torah studied in the higher worlds, including the world of Atzilus. But that's just that's not Hashem himself. That's not Hashem's, that's the way Hashem's wisdom is applied to a certain situation. But then there is, the result, the consequence, isn't Hashem himself. That's just a consequence. All that we study in Torah is not the giver of the Torah. The Aleph of Torah is the giver of Torah. When we study Torah, the language of the Zohar, it's istapkus ruach baruch. It's about cleaving spirit to spirit. It's not about the subject matter. Let me tell you one more story. I think I'll bring it home. There was a chassid during World War II who was living in some place where there weren't any Jewish books. All there was a geniza. It was a place where people left shemus. People left, different papers of Torah. And this guy, he made a book out of it. He took one page from chapter 22 in Tanya, one page from the Kudat Torah, and he stapled them together, or he put them together somehow. And someone looks at him like reading his book. No, page 1, chapter 3 of Tanya. Page 2, the chapter 5 of Geras HaKadosh. What is the guy doing? What are you reading? He said, I'm learning the light of Chassidus. I'm learning the light of it. So that's I think, where we want to go with this subject. The Torah is Mishal HaKadmeini. Before we learned the class, how do we understand Mishal HaKadmeini? We learned that the Torah is a parable for higher worlds. Now we're seeing even the highest of worlds. The Torah is before the world. Hashem is before the world. The Torah is a parable for the one who preceded the world. The Torah is about the giver of the Torah. And that's why it cannot be changed. It's the fact that it can't be changed is that's a characteristic of what Torah is. The Torah is Hashem. Torah is one with Him. When we study Torah, it's about intimacy. It's not just about, there's an application. If we have an application of the talus in this world, application of a mitzvah, two souls arguing over a mitzvah, those applications of Torah. What is Torah? Torah is the wisdom of Hashem.
I guess I was looking at it in more of a kind of physical way. In other words, the world, the beginning of what we understand as creation up to Mount Sinai, there are open miracles.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
After that, the amount of open miracles certainly decreased in its frequency. We didn't have the 10 plagues and things like that.
Yeah, after today's...
Everything kind of forms like Purim style, you know, through the wheels of nature. That's what I thought you were driving at.
Oh, so there is such a thing about why miracles have gotten less, because Hashem was educating us in the beginning of our existence. That does say that there's such a thing. But I do want to say, if you hear today's minute of Torah, which I'm going to put out soon, someone asked the Rebbe if Hashem performs miracles for individuals or only for groups. And the Rebbe says every single one of us say in our prayers, "Blessed are you, Hashem, the doctor of all flesh, who performs wonders." So since each of us individually say Hashem performs wonders, it means that each of us individually have miracles. Rebbe said, and you can also see doctors do a lot of examinations and yet their conclusions aren't accurate. And it's because the Rebbe apparently was alluding to the fact that it's not because the doctors are making mistakes, it's because...
It's a little bit of shit.
Yeah.
That's what we say. We operate, God decides. Or better, the doctor's mistakes are God's blessings.
So there is something about the frequency of miracles, but I do want to tell you that the Rebbe said miracles happen today to individuals, especially in regards to diseases of which are within the body, internal diseases, and especially lately, miracles. So there is such a thing about Hashem educating us in the infancy of our nationhood, but then there's something else about the Torah's will and wisdom, Hashem's will and wisdom, which is immutable. Okay, l'chaim. Have a great day, everyone.
Seven.